This episode brought to you by Own the Gray podcast. Discover how others age with attitude at ownthegray.ca.
Welcome to another episode of Lunch with a Healer. I'm your host, Dr. Susan Hoffman. And today I have a special guest, Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo, here to talk about her new book, Get Out of the Red Zone, which has everything you need and more to have the right frame of mind to overcome all of life's challenges. But first, a bit about Dr. Lombardo. She's a licensed practicing psychologist with an MS in physical therapy and a PhD in psychology, who combines research findings, real-life stories, and humor to provide actionable tips that individuals can benefit from immediately. Considered Shaquille O'Neal's head coach for happiness, Lombardo is on a mission to free people from the stress of perfectionism caused by their own inner critics. She's considered the country's most widely interviewed celebrity psychologist, with hundreds of radio and TV appearances on shows like Dr. Oz, The Today Show, Steve Harvey, CNN, Fox Business News, and others. And she's been quoted in media outlets, including The New York Times, The Wall Street Journal, Money Magazine, Forbes, Women's Health, and Cosmopolitan. Her own articles can frequently be found in Success, Fast Company, Entrepreneur, Better Homes and Gardens, and other publications. Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo has the best tips in her new book, Get Out of the Red Zone. It's the book you need to help and guide you to de-stress and focus on things that will make you truly successful. And now, let's meet Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo.
The best conversations happen when we're having lunch with our friends, especially when one is a healer. Pull up a chair and join us to expand your knowledge and open your mind.
Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo is on a mission to free people from their inner critic to create the health, wealth, and happiness they crave. She helps people discover the internal tools to optimize their success and their personal and professional lives. And welcome to the show, Dr. E.
Hey, thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Well, you've got numerous books out. One of them I'm working through called Better Than Perfect, How to Silence Your Inner Critic. And maybe we'll touch on that at some point today. But your newest book is Get Out of the Red Zone, Transform Your Stress and Optimize True Success. We are all dealing with stress.
Yeah. Stress levels are at an all-time high right now. And I think what a lot of people don't realize is how impactful that stress is on every facet of their lives. That's the first thing. The second thing is, a lot of people think, my stress is caused by external circumstances, my partner, my boss, my job, society, pandemic. And so it puts them in this position of helplessness. There's nothing I can do. And yet what we talk a lot about, what I talk a lot about in the book, is regardless of what's going on in our external circumstances, we get to choose how we deal with it. There's nothing more powerful in our lives than our minds. And it can allow us to be successful at whatever we do. It can also be our biggest obstacle to success.
So what exactly is the red zone?
When we're talking about the red zone, I'm talking about the psychological red zone, not the football red zone.
Okay.
Football red zone you want to get into, psychological red zone you want to get out of. But the psychological red zone happens when we experience high levels of stress, or what in psychology we call distress. Distress is the negative component of stress. There's actually positive stress. We call that eustress. That's when people are excited about, I don't know, planning a vacation, or maybe they're getting married, or for some people they're getting divorced, but you know, it's something they're looking forward to. Distress is that negative aspect of stress. And it's really any emotion you don't want. Could be sadness, anger, frustration, irritability, fear, worry, guilt, shame, helplessness, hopelessness, worthlessness, all goes in that distress pile. And distress exists on a continuum from zero, no distress at all, to 10 out of 10, the most distressed you've ever been. And the red zone happens when we're at a 7 out of 10 or higher. So a 7, an 8, a 9, or a 10, that's when we're in the red zone. And in the red zone, you don't think or act rationally all the time. In the red zone, I don't think or act rashly all the time. And there's a biological reason for this. But what happens is a lot of people are living in the red zone, which is not helping them.
I would imagine the number one thing we should be doing is being aware of it.
Being aware of it and understanding what's happening. So I like to, when describing the red zone, I think it's helpful to consider the opposite, which is the green zone, right? A 0, 1, 2, 3, low levels of distress. And basic psych 101 lecture here, but in low levels of distress, we're using more of the frontal lobe, right? That structure that differentiates us from other animals. And when we use our frontal lobe, we engage in perspective taking. We can see different perspectives, right? This is where we can solve problems. We can see the positive and the not so positive. This is where resilience happens. Times are tough. I know I can handle it, right? Confidence happens here. I'm not perfect, but I believe in myself. So we have all this different perspective. This is where we can, you know, really be able to move forward even during challenging times. If a partner or a loved one does something that's kind of annoying in the green zone, not a big deal. Right. Now, as we go up on this scale, our focus narrows from seeing everything, the positive and the not so positive, to focusing more and more on the negative. So that when we get into the red zone, that 7, that 8, that 9, that 10, we're focusing almost exclusively on the negatives. Psychology would call it negative filtering, focusing on what's wrong as opposed to also seeing what's right. And what's happening biologically is our limbic system, that fight or flight mechanism, basically hijacks our rational thinking. And this made sense evolutionarily, right? If you think about our cave ancestors, if they heard a rustling in the bush and thought, ah, it's nothing, they may not live another day. Instead, they went right into the red zone, fight or flight. They took care of that animal, right? Or they got away from the animal. Once the animal was gone, out of the red zone, life is good. Right. The issue that happens now is our brains are still wired like that. And yet our sources of stress, pandemic, relationships, work, tend to be more chronic. And so for a lot of people, they are living in the red zone. And instead of thinking rationally and being able to deal with what's happening, that limbic system, that fight or flight, that fear mechanism is really overtaking their lives.
And then, of course, there's physiological problems associated with constant stress. I mean, with the cortisol release.
So being in the red zone for a prolonged period of time can have a negative impact on every single organ system in the body, right? From our musculoskeletal system, right? I remember when I was working at my dissertation, I walked by the mirror and this is how I looked. My ears and my shoulders were one because there was so much tension in my neck. For some people, it impacts their GI system more. We know inflammation. I was working with a client who got tested for food allergies, and she basically was, you know, allergic or had a reaction to pretty much every single food. She could have like 3 foods out there. When we got her out of the red zone and she stayed out of the red zone, that inflammation decreases. And so her body was able to absorb more happily a lot more foods. So yes, it has a huge impact physiologically as well as behaviorally when it comes to our health, right? I mean, think about it. When people are stressed out, how often do you reach for a fresh garden salad? Right. Exactly. As we go for our comfort food, that's when we maybe stay up later. We don't get the sleep that we need. So it's also behaviors that happen in the red zone that can have an adverse impact on our physical health.
So what are the signs that we should be on the lookout for?
Yeah. And I think it is important to know what the signs are, not only for us, but also in others. Because when we're interacting with someone in the red zone, we can't expect them to be rational. Right. We don't want to personalize their behavior if that limbic system is hijacking their brain. Yeah. So I talk about 3 different red flags in the book. And these red flags, if you think of a red flag, it means to stop, right? So when you experience any of these, I want you to stop and ask yourself, on that scale from 0 to 10, oh, where am I? And those red flags are 1, emotions you don't want. So when you experience those emotions of distress, feeling angry, sad, anxious, worried, ask yourself, where am I in that scale? 2nd one, the physiological symptoms, right? Our bodies are such incredible barometers for our stress. Yeah. Often we don't listen. So start to listen. Like I said, for me, whenever I notice my neck is getting tight, I ask myself, where am I on this scale? And inevitably, I'm at least at a 6. Yeah. So for you, for some people, they may get really warm. I actually get cold. I have RAID nodes. So you know, so sometimes I'll get colder. People may start shaking. They may feel, I had a client who came in to start working with me. She's like, I don't really know what's going on, but I feel like my heart keeps fluttering. not in an I love you kind of way, but like, in an so being aware of your body, physical sensations you don't want. And then the third red flag, so we have emotions you don't want, physical sensations you don't want. That third one are behaviors you don't want.
Right.
Doing what you don't want to do. That could be me being short with our loved ones, for example, over consuming. Right. It's also not doing things that you want to do. So procrastination can be a great indicator. If you're procrastinating on a really important project or procrastinating on going to work out, it may be because you're in the red zone. So you want to ask yourself, where am I on that scale?
The procrastination could also be part of what you discuss in your other book, Better Than Perfect, because you could be a perfectionist and have such a fear of failure that you also procrastinate. So that's definitely one for stress, absolutely, because you can't function if you're in the red zone.
Well, that's exactly it. And it's interesting because when I look at the progression of my books, I wrote a book on happiness. Right. I was working with this gentleman. I won't tell the whole story, but basically he had both of his arms surgically amputated and he was the happiest man I've ever met. And I thought, if he can be this happy, I'd like to be happier, you know? Wow. So kind of that when Harry met Sally, I'll have what she
yes. wants.
I went on this journey and did all kinds of research on what really brings us happiness. Right. And as I'm, you know, sharing the book with others, I realized that the biggest obstacle for me to my happiness was my perfectionism, that all or nothing, perfect or failure, perfect or forget it, which goes to that right. procrastination. And then I realized when I'm pretty much not a perfectionist now, I can handle that. However, when I get into the red zone, that inner critic yeah. gets louder. It gets louder for all of us. And for me, sometimes that perfectionism can come out a little bit when I'm in the red zone. So yeah. that's absolutely. So when we're in that red zone, that inner critic gets louder and that perfectionism can become stronger.
Right. I think even people who suffer from anxiety attacks, I mean, this is being in the red zone at such a high level.
A panic attack is a 10 out of 10. Great example.
Yeah.
And what happens is when we're in the red zone, we think differently. So let's yeah. go for a panic attack. And you know, yeah. people who have panic attacks often will say, I feel like I am dying.
Yeah.
The thought I am dying, right?
Yeah.
Causes what? More panic.
Right.
The panicky feelings cause us to have more negative thoughts. It causes more panic. And it becomes this downward vicious cycle where people get stuck in the red zone.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting anxious just hearing this. So you've got to help me. I want some strategies, please.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I love acronyms, just kind of my thing. So when you're in the red zone and maybe you've experienced being in the red zone and someone telling you to just calm down. Never in the history of mankind has that ever been helpful, right? And someone tells you to just calm down when you're in the red zone, you have a different thought of what you want to do to that person.
Exactly.
And think about it. You know, in the red zone, your limbic system, your subconscious basically thinks you're drowning.
Yeah.
If you were shouting help and flailing around because you thought you were drowning and someone said, just calm down, you wouldn't stop shouting. So yeah. So when we're in that red zone, that 7, that 8, that 9, that 10, I say you want to grab stress by the helm, H-E-L-M. It's an acronym. And what that will do, I'll tell you what that is in a second, is it will get you out of the red zone. Once you are out of the red zone, you go from focusing only on the problem saying, now what can I do? So the helm principle stands for the following. H stands for halt. Stop all movement in this region of your body. And by that, I mean your mouth. So when you are in the red zone, do not let anything out of your mouth because that's when we say things we later regret. And don't put anything in your mouth because that's when we tend to consume things we later regret, right?
Okay.
And I will be open and honest about this. There were more than one time during the quarantine that I had not one, but two hands over my mouth when I was talking to my teenagers, because I did not want anything to come out. So sometimes that can be a tough one. So that's H. E is exercise. Mm-hmm. Now, when I say exercise, I don't mean you have to go to the gym for hours. I mean, move your body in any way. Jump on the bed, skip around, do some jumping jacks, push-ups, sit-ups, go for a walk, jog up a flight of stairs. What that does is it releases biochemicals in your body to allow you to get out of the red zone. Very, very powerful. And I'm talking a couple of minutes. I actually had a client, I'm in my office where I see clients. I had a client in here the other day And we were talking about this, and she was saying, I do sports psychology. She's a student. And she was saying how she's like, I can't exercise during class. I said, well, can you go to the bathroom? Yes. So we stood up and pretended we were in a bathroom stall and ran in place. I'm talking 45 seconds. She got out of the red zone, 45 seconds right in place. So yeah, that's how powerful that can be. E-L, I'm trying to remember how to spell helm. L is laughter. We all know laughter is the best medicine, and we've heard that before. When we laugh, it actually causes us to feel happier, which causes us to get out of the red zone. We don't actually need something to make us laugh to get the benefits, but we get more benefits if we actually watch something that makes you laugh, hear something that makes you laugh. The other day, my teenager was being rather teenagery. And so I said, in our household, we have conversations about the red zone. So I said, I feel like I'm creeping in the red zone. And we're talking, she's graduating, all this stuff that we were trying to figure out. I said, I feel like I'm getting in the red zone. Give me a couple of minutes. Okay. So I went into my home office, hopped on YouTube, watched a couple SNL skits. I'm out of the red zone. Then I can go back and interact with her in a much better way, in the way that I want to be as a parent, not in a red zone way. So L is laughter, and then M is music. Probably heard a song that you haven't heard in years, even decades, and it brings you right back to that time. Music has a very powerful impact on our emotions. And so I actually recommend my coaching clients keep a Get Out of the Red Zone playlist. So you don't have to think, what song do I want right now? Because a limbic brain is not a good thinking brain. You just hit play. And if you hit play and dance around, that's even better. You got two of them there. So that's the helm principle to get you out of the red zone.
That's fabulous. And I think it's very easy for people to remember as well. They'll have your book for a constant reminder. But how can we prevent getting into the red zone?
So there are a couple ways to prevent. One is to simply be proactive in terms of throughout your day, what are you doing to address your distress? While it would be lovely if we all went to 90 minutes of yoga every day, not everyone has that time. So I have what I call 3x5. 3 times a day for at least 5 minutes, you do something healthy and helpful to address your distress. What can you do? There are limitless things, right? So maybe, you're going to engage in gratitude. You're going to journal. You're going to do some deep breathing. You're going to meditate. You're going to spend time with a friend. For me, I have a 4-legged son who always puts me in a good mood. So spending time with Bailey, looking at these ways, these little bits that you can apply in your life so that you're constantly addressing your distress. You're constantly getting more and more into that green zone. And I highly recommend when I'm working with clients that they schedule this time. So maybe they wake up 5 minutes early. I know no one likes waking up early. 5 minutes though, and journal or start with an intention. Maybe during lunch, you're going to go for a walk, right? Maybe after work or after your day, you're going to spend time with a loved one. You're going to listen to a song. You're going to do a meditation. Again, there's no right or wrong way as long as it helps you. Schedule it in your calendar. Make it non-negotiable. When I'm working with corporations, what we'll do is we'll actually on the group calendar have people put in what that 5-minute slot is. And people know you can't interrupt that person 5 minutes. That's all, 5 minutes. While this isn't a big time commitment, it is very powerful to help us stay out of the red zone.
I find a lot of the stress that I induce on my own is prompted from overwhelm. And it's overwhelm, not because of someone's behavior. It's often because I've put too many projects on myself and then I get overwhelmed and I'm just paralyzed.
That is excellent. Not that that happens to you, but that you are aware of it because that's a trigger. And when you know what your triggers are, you get to deactivate those triggers. So in this situation, if you know when you have too much on your calendar, red zone, you're going to take steps to say, I'm not going to put too much on my calendar, but wait, I should. Is it better to be out of the red zone or try to get more stuff done? Because here's the thing, when you're out of the red zone, you're going to be a lot more efficient. In fact, people who live in the green zone, who spend more time in the green zone, our research shows 31% more productive. By taking even just a little time or taking one thing off your calendar, you're probably going to be more productive than you would be if you crammed all that on. For everyone else, figure out what are your triggers. I just had a client whose trigger is her mother-in-law, right? Her mother-in-law will make little comments that just dig in her heart. And here's the thing, No one can make you feel inferior without your consent. Eleanor Roosevelt famously shared that, right? No one can make you feel inferior without your consent. What does that mean? It means when someone says or does something and it hurts our feelings, we are actually in control of that hurting our feelings.
Right.
And the example I like to give to my clients, I often ask them, what's something that you're 100% confident in? And most people are like, I don't think I'm 100% confident in anything. So I'll say, how about walking? Are you confident in walking, right? Not in foreign heels, maybe not after a couple of glasses of wine, but in general, you're confident in walking. Most people say yes. And I'll say, okay, so if I said to you, you are a really bad walker, would that hurt your feelings? And most people say, no, of course it wouldn't hurt my feelings. And why is that? Because you don't buy into that you're a bad walker. You know you're a fine walker. So when someone says or does something and it hurts your feelings, it's actually an indicator that it's your own fear or your own concern, at least on one level. And you get to change that. So then even if your mother-in-law or someone else makes that same snide comment, you can deactivate it and see in this situation, her mother-in-law is a little threatened by not being the matriarch anymore because my client now has children and, you know, it's a whole thing. So her mother-in-law feels threatened. So when her mother-in-law makes these snide comments, she goes to, oh, she feels threatened. And either she doesn't personalize it or she takes it one step further and realizes what her mother-in-law really wants is to feel important. So then she'll ask her mother-in-law, hey, how did you do this? What advice do you have for me? Even though she's not all that interested, but it helps her mother-in-law feel better, feel more important, and that raises their relationship.
That's very good. But then we get into if someone does hit an area that really you react to, it's a sign. It's actually almost a blessing because it's telling you that you've got to do some inner work.
That's exactly it. It's like you put your hand on a hot stove. It hurts, but it's good that it hurts. If it didn't hurt and there's a congenital disorder where people don't experience pain, then you would keep your hand on the stove and your hand would burn and burn and burn. So pain, when we use it as a signal, and I'm talking physical pain, I used to be a physical therapist, as well as emotional pain now that I'm a psychologist, pain can be a great indicator of, wait a minute, something's not right. Let's address it now before it gets worse.
I think that everyone should read your previous books and then get to this one as well, for sure. This one is essential in today's society.
What I love about the concept of red zone is it's, first of all, it's so sticky. Second of all, we can use this terminology with the people around us without pathologizing mental illness, mental well-being, right? I'm in the red zone right now. You seem like you're in the red zone right now. It's not something's wrong with you. You know, a lot of people use the term bipolar, which completely is inappropriate use, but they're bipolar. No, they're in the red zone sometimes and sometimes they're not, just like most of us. But I was working with a corporation. I'm a professional speaker. I did a keynote with this company. And then a week later, I love doing this, I got to work with the executive team. So we did some group coaching with the executive team. And I loved to hear like what worked and frankly, what didn't work, right? So we could kind of problem solve. And the CFO of the company told me that after learning about this concept of red zone, before every single meeting, she asks people, where are you on a scale from 0 to 10? She asks herself too. Mm. And she said she had a really important meeting with her financial analyst. They were going to be planning for the next year. And he was at a 9 out of 10.
Right.
And she said, I knew he would be no good at a 9 out of 10. So she rescheduled the meeting, right? She gave him a gift certificate to Grubhub. The next morning they met like 7 a.m. and they had a fantastic meeting. Yeah. What message is that organization sending its employees?
Yeah.
You matter. True. You're human. Yeah. We are going to prioritize your mental well-being, not only because we care about you, but frankly, because it makes business sense. Right. Being in the red zone costs U.S. companies over $300 billion annually.
Absolutely.
So with something this simple of where are you from 0 to 10 and what are the 3 by 5, just implementing this in the workplace, implementing this in our personal lives can make a significant difference.
Yeah. And not just in big corporations. I'm thinking about my office. And when people get stressed out, how we deal with that. And you're right. They become non-functional.
And nonsensical, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Because again, fight or flight. Like, yeah. I don't have to tell you about what's been, you know, going on in this world in terms of fight. But, sometimes it's, you know, it's not physical violence, but it's saying things that aren't very kind. And if we can, instead of personalizing in that situation, if someone else is, you know, speaking in an unkind tone, instead of being like, oh my gosh, and getting into an argument, if we can just call it out, maybe not even overtly to them, but say, oh, they're in the red zone right now. You can give them some grace. You can give them some space. And then later you can have the conversation, not when they're in the red zone, but later you can have the conversation of, hey, you're in the red zone. Let's talk about how we can, you know, stop you from doing that or help you prevent from doing that.
I think everyone should get their partner this book. That would help save probably a lot of marriage counseling. And
absolutely. Because what happens is there's something, a cognitive bias called choice support bias. And we all have cognitive biases, right? Kind of mental shortcuts, because we are inundated with billions of bits of information. And so our mind has to have these shortcuts. And the choice support bias is, once we make a decision, our subconscious will scan the environment to determine why it was a good idea. A typical example of this is if someone hires someone on their team, and their entire team's like, this guy's not working out. The person who hired the person, the guy is like, yeah, it'll be fine. He's just, you know, learning, but he will look for ways of why that is. Now, what does this have to do with the red zone? What happens is, a lot of times people are in the red zone and they say or do something, they engage in choice support bias. Well, I yelled at them. It must have been their fault. And then there's also cognitive dissonance, that notion of we have a belief, but then there's data supporting otherwise. I'm a good person. What I just did is not a good person thing. How do I make sense out of that? I'm going to blame you. So in relationships, a lot of times people are in the red zone, they get mad at the other person, and then they justify that why they're mad at the other person. How powerful would it be if all you did was say, I'm sorry, I was in the red zone. I'm in control of my own emotions. Yeah. I acted inappropriately. I take full responsibility. I want to respect you. You deserve respect. And I apologize.
How do you manage your time, Dr. E? You do so much. You're young. I mean, you've published so many books.
I am that young. Yeah.
You are.
I'm 51 years old. I have no problem saying my age. How do I do it? For me, work is my fun. It's really my positive. I can't imagine not doing it. You and I were speaking briefly, but I share this on stage. My husband, the love of my life, we've been together for over half my life. 7 years, was diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. 5 years ago, he was trached and put on a vent, and he's completely paralyzed, can't move, requires 24/7 care. It's really easy to be at the red zone at home. And yet we all, as a family, practice this in terms of being mindful and enjoying our time together and engaging in self-care. And I will say, for me, I have identified my must-haves. And I think it's important for everyone to say, what do I need to be the best me? And it's going to differ for different people. So my must-haves are sleep. I am horrible. I don't even want to be with me when I'm tired. Like, just not. So my sleep, exercise, and meditation. My husband was in the hospital for 90 days, 5 years ago. Even during that time, I still... maybe I didn't get all the sleep I wanted to, but I made sure I got some sleep. I didn't exercise as much as I wanted to, but I made sure, even if it was just a 20-minute walk, and that meditation. So for me, those are my must-haves to be who I want to be. So I encourage everyone to ask yourself, what do you need? For some people, it's prayer. For some people, it's gratitude. Right. For some people, it's spending time with loved ones. Whatever it is, figure out what you need to be the best you, and then schedule it. It is an important meeting, just like a doctor's appointment or a meeting with your boss. It is that important. It's non-negotiable.
That's funny you said that, because I ask every interview, every guest, what's a daily non-negotiable?
There you go.
That's fantastic. I have one last question. How did you get into sports psychology?
So I used to be a physical therapist. I was a practicing PT. And when I had an event with a client, basically he had a surgical, something about surgically amputated men that have changed my life, but he had a surgical amputation because of diabetes on his part of his leg. And he came down to the PT gym, and I was going to, help him walk again. And he wanted nothing to do with me, like yelled at me. I sent him up to his room. We had rounds later with the doctors, nurses, and therapists. I'll talk about each patient. And the attending physician, the guy who cut this patient's leg off the day before, said, I'll prescribe him Prozac. And I thought, okay, I feel, feel like maybe we should process this. So I decided to go back and get my PhD in clinical psychology. And then, you know, as I'm working with clients in the physical rehabilitation, I'm just realizing how much our mind gets in our way. So when I'm working with my athletes, for example, just was working with a golfer, they're messing up their putt. Don't mess up. Don't mess up. Don't mess up. Well, guess what? Your subconscious doesn't hear the word not. Don't think of a pink elephant. Don't think of a pink trunk. Don't think of a pink belly. Don't think of a pink tail. Don't think of a pink elephant. All we do is think of a pink elephant. So when we can optimize what goes on up here, it changes our performance. And so for me, it's really fun. I never thought I'd work with kids. I thought I'll have some of my own, but I don't want to work with others. But it has been so rewarding. And the beauty is not only do, and I work with some adults who are athletes too, but when I'm working with my teens and my adolescents, not only do they get better at their sport, but the same concepts, you know, as I was working with this kid and I gave him a technique to use for his putting, and he came back and he's like, oh my gosh, it was so great. You know, I was playing so much better. And then he stopped mid sentence and he said, wait a minute, can I use this when I'm stressed out about a test? And I'm like, yes, like that's exactly it. What the research shows are essential skills to success: healthy self-confidence, emotional regulation, emotional intelligence, resilience, grip. Teaching it via sports psychology not only helps them with, you know, get recruited into schools. I just had a client recruited into professional hockey, so I'm very proud of him. Not only that, but really helps in terms of every single interaction and everything that they face in their lives currently and in the future.
I am so thrilled that I was able to meet you and have this discussion. Very grateful for your time. I am definitely going to try the pink elephant the next time I'm on the golf course.
Right. So it's, you know, visualize it or, you know, focus on, let whatever happened in the past go, focus on what's happening now. I got this. I believe in myself. I practice this, trust the process, whatever it is.
Right. I know. Where can my listeners reach you?
Well, they can go to ElizabethLombardo.com, ElizabethLombardo.com. And not only is there a way to purchase the book there, but there is also a quiz to see just how much you are in the red zone.
All right. And again, the name of the book is Get Out of the Red Zone, Transform Your Stress, and Optimize True Success.
Thank you so much. I'm very grateful to get to be on your show. So thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, give us a 5-star review, and share it with your friends. And join us next time for Lunch with a Healer. Now you can share your thoughts with us. Your comments, questions, and suggestions are all welcome. Go to speakpipe.com/lunchwithahealer and record your message. Try it out today.